order the October 11th, 2016 meeting of the Derry Township Board of Supervisors. If everyone would please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jill, may I please have roll call?
Member Matt Weir.
Here.
Member Justin Engel.
Here.
Member Susan Court.
Here.
Member John Foley.
Here.
Chairman Mark Moyer.
Here. Although it's posted within the meeting room, I want to advise those persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape and record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. I also want to announce that the Board of Supervisors met in executive session to discuss land and legal issues. At this time, I would like to move to adopt the minute meetings of the public hearing for September. Okay, we can do that first. I appreciate it, John. At this time, I would like to invite public user comments. Anybody wishing to address the board, I invite to the podium and ask that they please identify themselves by name and their address. And I also ask that they kindly limit their remarks to 3 minutes or less. Hearing none, visitor and public comments at this time, at least I'll entertain a motion to approve the public hearing minutes for September 27th, 2016. So moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second those. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, and those minute meetings are adopted unanimously. Also entertain a motion to adopt the Board of Supervisors meeting for September 27th, 2016. So moved by Mr. Foley. I'll second those. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And those minutes are approved unanimously. By way of new business, one of the pleasures I have as Chairman of the Board of Supervisors is to honor those who have provided dedicated service to the township, and tonight is no exception. Tonight we have a public recognition and retirement awards ceremony for Barbara Wilke, who has provided 24 years of service to the township as the cataloging and collection development librarian for the Hershey Public Library. And I would like to invite Barbara to the front for a presentation of a very small token of our appreciation in that regard. And Barbara, if you'd be so kind as to make some comments as her supervisor.
It's my pleasure to introduce to you tonight Barbara Wilke, who for 24 years has been the cataloging and collection development librarian at the Hershey Public Library. She started there September 2nd, 1992. She came to the job at a time when computer usage was just beginning to really take hold in the library world. Her job has required daily computer data input tasks, preparing materials for use by library visitors. Not only has she mastered several versions of library software over her 24 years, but she's also spent countless hours reviewing, selecting, pricing, and ordering the materials needed to fill our community's needs. Barbara has served the Derry Township community as a professional librarian, serving in every possible capacity. In her earliest years, I found out, she even taught electronic research skills, and she matched collection choices with high school curriculum needs. And she's helped to develop plans for the new Hershey Library, in which we now reside, which next year will be 20 years. Barbara has always been a quiet person, not known for drawing attention to herself. She listens intently and thoughtfully to what others have to say. Her contribution to staff discussions have always resulted in clear thinking and organized, thoughtful consideration. Barbara's valued viewpoint and ideas always have helped us make sound decisions. On a personal note, I've had the pleasure of knowing you for 13 years, and I know I speak for all of the staff and volunteers, many of whom are here this evening, who have known you as a colleague, and I say thank you for being part of our lives and for all the work that we've been able to accomplish together. Thank you, Barbara.
Barbara, as a small token of our appreciation, Barbara, don't go anywhere. As a small token of our appreciation, Barbara, I'd like to present you with a plaque, and it reads, Township of Gary Retirement Award presented to Barbara J. Woke, in recognition of dedicated and loyal service to the Township of Gary as a cataloging and collection development librarian for the Hershey Public Library, Hershey, PA, September 2nd, 1992 through September 6th, 2016. Congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. The next item on our agenda is another honor, and that takes the form of the swearing in and introduction of Gary Township's newest police officer, Chief Horner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Gary Township Police Department hired one new police officer to replace a vacancy created by retirement at the beginning of this year. Earlier this year, the Gary Township Police Department conducted testing to find a candidate to hire to bring the police department back to full complement. The vacancy was created by retirement and subsequent promotion. After the hiring process was complete, the conditional offer of employment was made to Peter Fuhrer on September 22nd, 2016. Peter comes to our department with a vast range of knowledge and experience in law enforcement. He was previously a deputy sheriff with the Dauphin County Sheriff's Office, an officer in Middletown Borough, and most recently a detective with Dauphin County Criminal Investigation Division. He has also served as a member of the Dauphin County Crisis Response Team. I'd like to have Pete come up and receive his oath of office.
And Chief, I'd also like to invite Maria Elena, his wife, to join him if she wants to, but it certainly is your option. Officer Fuhrer, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Peter Anthony Fuhrer, being appointed as a police officer for the Gary Township Police Department,
being appointed as a police officer for the Gary Township Police Department,
do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend,
that do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend
the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the United States,
the laws and Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
the laws and Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania,
and all municipal ordinances of the Township of Gary,
and all municipal ordinances of the Township of Gary.
I will respect the constitutional rights of all persons.
I will respect the constitutional rights of all persons
with regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
With regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
I will perform all duties impartially.
I will perform all duties impartially.
Without bias or prejudice.
Without bias or prejudice.
With regard to any person's sex, race, or religious belief.
With regard to any person's sex, race, or religious belief.
All persons will be treated equally with courtesy.
All persons will be treated equally with courtesy,
consideration, and dignity.
Consideration and dignity.
I understand that by giving this oath,
I understand that by giving this oath,
and pledging my best efforts,
and pledging my best efforts,
the Township of Gary is under no obligation to accept,
the Township of Gary is under no obligation to accept,
that best as an acceptable level of conduct,
that best as an acceptable level of conduct,
behavior or performance,
behavior or performance.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer to the best of my abilities.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer to the best of my abilities.
With honor and fidelity.
With honor and fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, officer. The next item on the agenda, B1, is a discussion on the Police Department's Communications Center. I've asked for this item to be placed on the agenda based on the recent public comments that we've had. I do want to say that before Mr. Negley offers any introductory comments, that we as Board of Supervisors did meet with a representative of the County 911 Call Center for the purpose of asking questions of the county on this issue and for receiving information. We've had two public hearings from Chief Warner on the issue to receive information. And we've, having determined that no further additional official comments were going to be received from either party, Derry Township or Dauphin County, and that any additional public comments could be provided at our regularly scheduled meeting. I determined that the most recent meeting, which was canceled, was therefore not necessary. I don't anticipate any motions being made at tonight's meeting on this issue or in the near future on this issue, but in any event, I wanted to entertain any discussion among members of the Board of Supervisors that they might have with respect to any thoughts or comments. And Mr. Negley, is there anything to add on that by way of background?
This is just follow-up to our September 13th public meeting on the Derry County Communications Center. This is on the date to ask any questions to the Chief of Need.
Very well. Anyone else have any thoughts or comments among the Board of Supervisors on this issue?
Yes, I have several comments. When we started this process to consider regionalization of the Derry Township Dispatch Center, I wanted several questions asked. How can we save taxpayers' dollars while still providing a quality dispatch service? How are the dispatch services delivered to Derry Township today? Who is receiving these services? Who is paying for them? How much of a premium are the taxpayers of Derry Township willing to pay to operate and maintain our own dispatch service? Derry Township is recognized for having a very well-run police department that is noted for high-quality service and professionalism. And all of us take pride in Derry Township employees and staff, which is truly credit to our community. However, when an offer to improve and possibly save money presents itself, we as supervisors would be amiss not to consider it. The Dauphin County Commissioners made such an offer, and that is what we are considering today. The commissioners have been looking for a regionalization of police service for a long time, and the effort led by former Derry Township Supervisor Mike Priest has been moving in that direction. The advantage of regionalizations are obvious. Economies of scale, broad base of expertise, elimination of duplication of facilities and staff, pooled resources for purchasing up-to-date technology, and better staff training. Other municipalities in the county have chosen to accept the county's offer of regionalization. And Derry Township is now using the county's dispatch for fire and ambulance. All of the other municipalities are now saving taxpayer dollars and working with the county dispatch to make the services work for the benefit of their communities. The Dauphin County Commissioners are surprised that Derry Township has not taken advantage of their offer of high-quality dispatch services free. We owe our county commissioners a debt of gratitude for making us this offer. I ask you to consider the following. Derry Township residents in a time of emergency have to decide which of two numbers to call, 911 for fire and ambulance, and 534-2202 for police if they are in the boundaries of Derry Township. This is confusing and time. This is confusing and time consuming. Visitors to the township, when faced with an emergency, will always call 911. If they are calling about a police matter, does their call need to be transferred to the county and then back to Derry Township Police before it is dispatched? Budget time is upon us, and the police, and we are always looking for ways to cut costs. The police department makes up 38% of the township's budget, and dispatch could be a way for us to save money. Where else can the police department save costs as easily? Derry Township taxpayers now pay taxes to operate both the county dispatch and our local dispatch. We have been hearing a lot about how unique Derry Township is, and I agree 100%. It's a unique and beautiful place to live. But I offer that every municipality in Dauphin County is unique in many ways, and in many ways similar. Here in Derry Township, we have the medical center, the park, the giant center, Milton Hershey School, Hershey Chocolate, and lots of tourists. Harrisburg has a large city population, the state capital, large hospital complex, HAC, the university center, large hotels and conference centers, the farm show, and the challenge school system, all with the problems and benefits that come with a large city. Northern Dauphin County faces a situation involving dispatch to rural communities. Middletown has nursing home facilities, a crippled nuclear power plant, and an international airport that is the gateway for many of the tourists to visit Hershey. All of us have public schools, fire protection, police, and ambulance service. The county dispatch has the facilities and expertise to handle all these situations and better than any one municipality can do on its own. We have heard from all the special interest groups about individualized service that they receive from localized dispatch. But we have not heard so much from the premium that we pay for this special service. And what is the average taxpayer's fair share of that premium? This dispatch regionalization issue will not go away, no matter what we do and discuss here tonight. Economies of scale are a powerful force, and demands for better response, training, and ever more expensive equipment, along with tighter budgets, will keep this issue on the front burner for the foreseeable future. So when it comes down to a matter of timing, should Derry Township step into the future now and acclimate itself to regionalization, or pay catch up sometime in the future? Of course, there is a learning curve with any change, and every other municipality in Dauphin County has a head start making regionalization of dispatch work. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. Are there any other thoughts or comments associated with this matter? I think I just want to point out that while much has been said about the regionalization and the capabilities of Dauphin County, I do tip my hat to them and their dispatchers. They do a remarkable job covering the entire county. Much has been said about the uniqueness of Derry Township, and I think literally last week was one of the best or easiest examples that we can show where we literally were the second or third largest city because of the antique auto show. The uniqueness of that repeats itself time and time again throughout the year. Our one of the great benefits that we have is, in fact, the tremendous economic engine that we have here with our Hershey entities, not just those that fall under the trust, but the Hershey Medical Center, facilities such as those key parts, what we have as a benefit for us is that interoperability that we will lose when we go to Dauphin County. And we don't seem to want to talk about that, but it's very difficult. I think that one of the great examples that has been before us is the state police tried to initiate a regionalization of their dispatch, and it absolutely failed. And that's in part one of my big fears in this, in that we aren't in a position to fail. Our savings, while have been touted in the hundreds of thousands of dollars, actually after the analysis, were at the top end, certainly below $100,000. In addition to that, our bottom end of that was about $40,000. Given the amount of people and visitors that we both have in the township and see on an annual basis, upwards of 5 million, I just don't think it's prudent for us, given the cost, to say, here's what happens. We're gonna farm this out for the savings of, you know, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000. It is a significant amount of money. I don't want to dispute what our taxpayers are experiencing. When our dispatch center gets that call at 534-2202, our officers are certainly safer, more secure, knowing that dispatcher knows exactly where that specific area is. When they're trying to say, hey, I'm at the HVI unit over at the Med Center, these officers know that dispatcher knows exactly where that component is. When it's a support area, we heard from the EMS that there's no cross communications here, and that they get to hear updates from the police as to what is happening there. So they go into scenes sometimes blind, not knowing what safety factors are there for them. Those are big components for us, in addition to just the monitoring and all of the different pieces that go into our community, whether it's we have protests. We're consistently having events here. I think we as supervisors owe it to our officers, our employees, who our job is to make sure that they go home every night. They go home to their loved ones. And it's a public safety issue, and I recognize that we're the last municipality, but when we tout that the Capitol Complex is in fact under that Dauphin County umbrella, it's not. They have their own dispatch. So there are a lot of nuances to this that, while it sounds ideal and perfect, it may be for other communities. I just don't believe it's the best thing for Derry Township. And with that, I just return it back to you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So let me just ask, what is not the best for Derry Township?
Farming out our dispatch.
Right. So I guess the only argument I'd make to my fellow supervisors is that, you know, we set out to objectively look at this. This has been talked about for many years. You know, so I remember that the first month that I became a supervisor, the issue came up, and so I would just, I'm not saying I'm for or against it, but we set out to objectively look at this, and I don't know that we've done that. So it's a very, you know, there's a potential to save some money, and I think we have to look at any potential to save some money. There's a cost to it, there's no question. But I think where we failed was that at no part in this process did we go to an independent third party to say, these are the options that you could pursue. Because maybe it's not A or B. Maybe there's options in between where we can save money, alternate, and still offer very good service. And I think because the debate formed up the way it did, I don't know that we took a really good objective look at the issue. And so I think moving forward, I'm not going to make any motions tonight. I wouldn't be prepared to do that because there's not been, you know, I don't think we have good options on the table. So if we do ever do this again, if we consider even in the near term, I think that we really need to look hard at engaging a third party to independently look at it and see if there's any options that that are, you know, middle of the road.
I don't disagree that wouldn't be a good idea, but we've never discussed that, so I would maintain that we didn't fail. I think we've been doing a good job as a board to try to work through a thoughtful
comparison of what we currently have and what we might have if we went with county services. We've all individually and as a board spent a lot of time talking with Garth and his team, touring the police department, going over reports, listening to his presentation. Similarly, we did the same thing in the county. So I think we've been doing what we set out to do as we opened up this conversation. And if we're not going to make a decision, I would offer that we kind of come up with what is that criteria by which we judge this so that we can feel good at the end of the day that we've made the right, we've gone through the right steps to do this analysis.
So we have spent time and we've learned a lot, but it's still very confusing to me. In other words, exactly where
there's... It's not black and white. That's
not.
It's not that we can say, if we just go to the county, we save $40,000 and everything is the same. Nor do we say, if we keep what we have right now, it's worth that amount of money. And what price do you put on the safety of the residents and the many, many guests that we have in and out of our township every single day? And I, you know, it's easy to say that we're unique and maybe people could look into the what that word means in many different ways. It doesn't mean we're better. It just means we're very, very different in Derry Township. And I think that the insight and the comfort that knowing how things currently run really does serve our community very well right now. That doesn't mean that we couldn't make a change down the road, but right now in 2016, given what we know about our township and how it operates, and the comfort that we all have as residents and business owners in our community, things are working very well right now. And I think our community expects that, they appreciate that, and I think we've done a good job of trying to evaluate, you know, how we feel if we stayed where we are or if we made that change. Maybe we're not done with that evaluation, but I do feel that we've done a good job in trying to be thoughtful about that analysis so far.
Susan, and the rest of the board, I was under the impression that the steps that we've taken so far were going to be the preliminary steps that we take, that we do talk to both sides, we do obtain information on our own behalf, and that would assist us in framing some issues. Certainly assist us in understanding what a lot of those issues are. So, I probably wouldn't have couched it in those terms, but I think we set out to accomplish what we've set out to do, and that is to acquire information, frame the issues, educate ourselves, and I think that was an important first step. And so I think that at this point we need to discuss amongst ourselves what, if anything, we want to do moving forward and brainstorm some possible ideas.
And this occurred if I'm wrong, but this all could be a moot point in the months ahead.
And that's what I was going to bring up. And my understanding is that there is some potential legislation out there which might
could actually mandate that we make the change.
Right, sort of remove this decision-making process from us. But I'm not sure as to the details of that, or certainty of it, for that matter.
But even if that would happen, we would have to go through a process of evaluating how it's operated moving forward, because there's certain services that would not go to the county. So how do the counties get monitored?
Even if we did make that switch to the county, either under our own terms or because it was mandated, the county, I would think, would have to hire personnel. They can't just take on Derry Township, given its current staff. Or if they did, then they wouldn't be doing this the service that we need.
Correct. I want to point out that, to Garth's credit, and Mr. Nagley, they have done that analysis of what the... If there was a closure, what would that look like? How would we be monitoring? And as we've shared, our savings overall end up being somewhere between $40,000 and $90,000. That's the savings.
But the problem is it's not independent. And I mean, I trust Jim, I trust Garth, but
how do you say it's not independent? If you're trusting them, you got to trust them.
Well, no, but it's not an independent third party doesn't have, in other words, like, for instance, how much would it cost to monitor the cameras?
Because the county would not do that.
They would not monitor.
Right.
We've got, for those of you who are joining us in this conversation, we have cameras in the township that provide our police force insights into what's going on in pedestrian crosswalks, the
intersections.
And I think Lancaster, for example, has cameras, but it's operated by a separate, or paid for by a separate
entity. And if we switched to the county, we would lose that, but to your
point. There's a lot of detail. In other words, here's option A with this transfer, and here's option B, here's option C. So as a supervisor, John, you understand all this stuff. But unless we were, I would ride in cars with police officers to see exactly how it affects the time that you spend. There's no way that I can form the type of educated opinion that John could, knowing a lot more about emergency service. That's my point about having a third party saying, you know, here are a couple different options that.
Well, for the purposes of this evening, I think because of the prospect of pending legislation and what that might actually be, and the terms of that legislation is uncertain at the timing, that for tonight's purposes, I think that any sort of shift.
I think just making clear, I'm not proposing that tonight. I'm just saying if we do consider this again, I think we need to consider.
And I would like to take that time frame of that pending legislation into consideration before we would spend money. I would need to spend money on independent study.
Exactly. It's premature.
It would be a waste of taxpayers' money.
Agree. Okay. Well, absent any formal motion by any members of the board, I am prepared to move on to the next item on the agenda, which is C1 through C16, the preliminary final land development plan for Ugrove Learning Center addition, plat number 1271. Mr. Emery.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This project is located on Bullfrog Valley Road, south of Route 322. It is the location of the existing Ugrove facility. It's on lot number 2 of a condominium plan that was done some years ago, which encompasses 99.267 acres. The present zoning of the tract is business office and research overlay. The existing Ugrove facility serves up to 144 children. The applicant is now proposing to provide an expansion, add another wing to the building that will add 31,500 square feet of floor area, which will serve a total then of 308 students. It will provide a corporate office for a staff of 14 and some needed storage space. Lot number 2 is part of a condominium development, as I said, so the land is retained by the Hershey Trust Company in this case. It's accessed through a private road, Research Boulevard, and also through the Coco Beanery parking lot. The site will be served, will continue to be served by public water and public sewer facilities, and adequate capacity exists in each case. The stormwater management proposed for the site consists of a basin with a floor bay, a rain garden, and vegetated swales, in addition to some modifications to the existing basin that was built as part of the original building. We'll see in the waivers for this project that they are asking for a waiver of a traffic study. What they've reported is that HBAR is the commercial building that's located on the same property, is only utilizing about 31% of the parking area. HBAR was also Hershey Center for Applied Research, for anybody that doesn't know what that is. Was also approved for Building 2, and it doesn't appear as though that building's ever going to get built. So what they're proposing in lieu of a traffic study is a memorandum of understanding that once Ugrove is expanded and up and operating, they will do a study of the traffic light and provide any adjustments that may be necessary. That was the result that was coming out of the second HCAR plans. Speaking of waivers, there's a series of waivers that they're requesting for this project. They're requesting for a waiver for no plan smaller than 1 inch equals 50 feet. As you can see, larger plans or smaller plans, as the case may be, are needed to show the entire site. They're asking for a waiver of showing rock outcrops and other physical features within 200 feet or 50 feet of the site, and the same for contours, because of the vast size of the site, and also that information has been previously documented on recently recorded plans. They're asking for waivers for providing plans and profiles of sanitary, storm, water, gas mains that they're not disturbing. And there we're recommending only for the unaffected facilities. They're asking for a waiver of the providing monuments and markers on the site. Again, that should have been addressed on the prior plans. They're asking for waivers of providing curbing and sidewalk along the property And there we're asking for the standard deferment agreement. We expect this site to be further developed as time goes on, and we wouldn't want to just completely waive the sidewalk requirement. They've asked for a waiver of the wetlands determination. Now, there is a creek that goes through this property, and that's in essence what the basin that they're restoring or that they're modifying is going to drain to. As you can see, the outlet pipe on the screen leads to just flat contours, if you will. I've asked that they monitor that after construction, and if necessary, provide a channel to the swale. And if in that case they need to do that, they would have to do a wetland study. And they have agreed to that in principle, and we're asking for an agreement to be documented, memorialized in some form or fashion as a condition of approval. Derry Township Planning Commission reviewed this plan on September 6th and recommended approval, conditioned upon certain modifications being made, and the majority of those modifications have been addressed. I'm recommending approval of Plat 1271 with following conditions: that they reimburse the township for cost incurred in reviewing the plan no later than November 11th, that the following items happen no later than April 11th of 2017, that the performance security is provided and that an agreement is accompanies it. Item C in my report, which asked for the memorandum of understanding regarding the monitoring of the traffic light. Today we received a signed copy from the trust that's been reviewed by myself and by John Yost, so that item can be removed from the conditions. Also, by April 11, 2017, that the property owner concurs with the repair detail for the pond in some form of agreement, that the executed agreement for the deferment of the installation of curbing and sidewalk is provided, that the rain garden detail on sheet PCSM-4 is revised to more clearly reflect the pipe invert, which is one outstanding comment, that the Dauphin County Conservation District approval letter be provided, that the NPDES approval letter be provided, and that the applicant provide the DXF AutoCAD file of the final plans. And then also that the following are recorded concurrently with the plan, the memorandum of understanding regarding the traffic monitoring, the revised stormwater best management practice operation and maintenance agreement, the revised declaration referencing the revised operation and maintenance agreement, which is a way of attaching it to the deed, and finally, that the agreement for the deferment of the insulation, curbing, and sidewalk is recorded.
Are there any thoughts or questions or comments for Chuck?
Chuck, with regard to that parking, if HCAR 1 does reach full capacity and they build HCAR 2, will they then have to increase the parking spaces available?
Yes, there is a full plan recorded for HCAR 2, that they could actually pull a building permit and build it. But it's been such a slow go on getting HCAR 1 filled that the chances of that happening under the current plan, I think, are very minimal.
So who's responsible for building those parking lots? UGRO be?
They would not receive, well, UGRO has ample parking proposed as part of their plan for their facility. They're treated as a condominium. They own a unit. A unit's just another word for a lot, except that they don't really own the lot. So on that unit, they're providing everything that they need as if it was a freestanding property. So my reference to the parking at HCAR was just an indication of how underutilized that building is. I think it was anticipated to have much more staff and activity than the research that's going on in there now. So the point is that of their 238 parking spaces, only a small portion is being used, about 86, I believe. So that's independent of the UGRO facility. It's only mentioned for the fact of the deferment for the traffic light monitoring. It would appear, so if HCAR would build the second building, you're asking who would make sure the parking is there? We would, because we would not offer the certificate of occupancy without ample parking.
Chuck, obviously with the hurricanes in the recent past, stormwater in that vicinity is of
grave concern, and just wanted to sort of do a check on your assessment of the detention basin adequacy and coverage to make sure that this additional impervious coverage is not going to result in some adverse runoff.
As I mentioned in my report, this present basin that's there today never seemed to infiltrate as it was meant to. So part of the modification that we're doing here is actually getting that basin back to a functional level. So they'll be bringing a pipe at the lower, at the bottom of the basin to drain it.
Who will make that assessment, Chuck? Who will make that assessment as to whether it's been adequately restored?
HRG is part of the construction inspection.
Okay, thank you.
They've provided some water quality treatment in the area between the buildings, and they're also proposing a second basin that will have a forebay, which is this extra little circle that you see on the plan, that acts to take out some of the sediment out of the rainwater prior to it going into the regular basin. I don't know if Matt wants to add anything to that. It's compliant with our stormwater regulations. I don't think they've done anything to exceed our minimum requirements.
No, they do also have some trenching in addition down through here and some landscaping features. So they really went kind of above and beyond as far as spreading the water out and trying to get some infiltration prior to the basin. This original basin that wasn't working correctly, there's bonding still being held for that. So we always knew that was an issue, and it was had to be taken care of before they got their money back from the original land development plan. Regarding flooding and storm, this basin, the discharge used to come out towards 322, which the calculations showed that was fine. We approved that. There's never been any issues with it. But with some of the larger events that's happened, I was never really comfortable with that. So as part of this change, because it wasn't working correctly, we asked them to take it down here toward Bullfrog Valley Road. So if it does overtop, it's heading this way, not towards 322. So.
Right, that was the origin of my concerns, that if we approve that and enable additional water to go in there, then you know, we already had a problem. What are we going to address it? I think you've answered that question.
Great.
Any other thoughts or comments?
Yeah, Jeff, can you just talk about the traffic impact study again? So that was not required. Can you talk through that?
So our ordinance says that when you hit 100 peak hour trips or when the township is aware of an issue with traffic, that traffic study is required as part of a land development plan. As I said, that they have a plan on record that would allow rather substantial build. And that traffic report in and of itself only recommended timing changes at the traffic light.
You mean for number two?
For H-car number two.
Okay. And so that was 100 plus trips. So they did a study.
Right.
And how many trips are?
In this case, if they're serving 308 students, we've probably broken the 100 peak hour trip threshold, thinking of when students are dropped off. But without a traffic study, I have no way of truly assuring that. But I would think they might even be up to around 200 trips, assuming you know some parents are bringing more than one student. The Bullfrog Valley Road improvements, the traffic signal itself, I think were initiated by the first H-car. So they did some substantial, you know, when you look at the boulevard coming into the H-car development, and you look at the work that was done out on Bullfrog Valley Road, I don't believe that there's any issues that exist there today at any time of day. And that's why we're supportive of the study and monitoring traffic timing.
Okay, so the TIS was done by the trust, and improvements were done as a result of that.
That's what I would. I wasn't here when H-car was first built. I recall, seeing parts of it go in. I believe that you know, the whole intersection with Lifeline, the alignment, the improvements to put the signal there, I think all stemmed out of the HCAR development. I didn't research that though for this meeting.
I thought that was likely done with the last master plan of the hospital.
I didn't research that for this meeting. I know that when HCAR went in, they again, you know, built a pretty substantial boulevard to serve their what they anticipated might happen there under the office zoning, which would create quite a few peak hour trips.
So I guess I'm a little confused that if we are now going to go over peak or over the threshold for traffic, then you said a traffic impact study that ordinarily would be required for that type of volume is a request is made to waive that.
To waive the full study in lieu of just doing the monitoring of the traffic added by UGROW and doing the adjustment to the light as was recommended in the second HCAR.
What if that's not sufficient?
What if the second building gets built?
We'd have to approach that then.
But we don't have the opportunity. It's already approved, right?
It is already approved, yes.
So am I sensing that you're just generally having a good feeling about the adequacy of that intersection? I mean, I
don't think that HCAR 2 is ever going to get built. I think we're going to see another project for the barn prior to HCAR, and then we'll have another chance to revisit traffic at this intersection, even aside from whatever else may happen in this project.
Permit Extensions Act? I mean, how long is HCAR 2 valid?
5 years after approval.
Okay.
I don't know when that was approved. That may be subject to some of the extension. And the 5 years is really at the discretion of the township. So when they would come in for their permits, if they exceeded that, we could consider things like traffic.
Did this come up with the Planning Commission at all?
It did. Yeah. It did. They were not uncomfortable with what was being proposed. It was also... would you guys like to speak?
Sure. I think...
Greg, could you come up to the mic just so we can... Thank you.
Hi, my name is Greg Holsinger. I'm president of UGROW Learning Centers, and thank you for your time. We did talk at the planning session here last month, and I think everyone was pretty comfortable with what the trust done so far with the entryway. And I think the other thing that eventually that Research Boulevard will extend the other way from the trust plans, so that the traffic will come two ways at some point in time. But I think everyone last month was pretty comfortable with the traffic that was going to be proposed at that intersection, if that helps.
So Greg, that was another question that I had. So that is the thought, is that the lane that accesses your parking lot will eventually continue and be researchable, right? I mean, it will continue to...
That's the plan. Now, that's beyond UGROW's reach, but that's the plan.
Okay.
And so we are adding a second entrance to our... parking lot, so there'll be two flows of traffic there for UGROW. I think you've all gone to the Beanery and know that intersection pretty well. It can hold a lot of traffic, and that was the feeling at last month's meeting.
Yeah, right.
Is that part of the Plain Campus West schematic to extend that road? Or?
I don't think there's anything like that that exists as far as Okay, it's a general feeling that the intersection's adequate.
I'm pretty comfortable that we're going to get another dip at the apple before there's a problem.
Okay. Matt, any comments?
I was supportive of Chuck. I think just assume that HCAR 2, let's just say, had 1,000 trips per day, and you go to only 200, that 1,000 was already accounted for, and if that 1,000 came in, the only improvements would be change it to the signal. Mm-hmm. So there's no geomatic improvements there. So I'd support Chuck on that.
Okay, great. Thanks. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Well, if there's nothing further, I'll entertain a motion to approve the preliminary final land development plan for Ugro Learning Center Edition, plat number 1271, subject to the remarks as presented by Chuck this evening.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Engel, seconded by Mr. Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye is opposed. And that motion is granted unanimously.
Thank you.
Turning to item D1 through 3, consideration of the release of main security provided for the preliminary final land development plan for J.
Barudi was called
Barudi Inc. Proposed hotel plot number 1196. Is this housekeeping, Chuck?
Well, it is with one. So this is the Super 8 on Hawkersville Road.
Right.
There was one outstanding item. Matt was good enough to provide a letter. We inspected that last item today. It has been addressed. So yes, this is now housekeeping.
Okay, very good. I'll entertain a motion to release the main security in the amount of $4,151.70, provided as cash for the preliminary final land development plan for J. Marudi, Inc., proposed hotel, plot number 1196, contingent upon the removal of the silt sack from Inlet 1. Is that an accurate motion? I'll make that motion. Do I hear a second? Second, Mr. Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously as well. Item E1 through 32 is the approval of a $200,000 local stormwater BMP implementation grant from the Department of Environmental Protection. Ms. Sumrall?
Thank you. So we were awarded $200,000 from the Department of Environmental Protection through their local stormwater BMP implementation program for improvements to the West Caracas Avenue public parking lot. The improvements, and thanks again to Matt and his team for doing such an awesome job with the technical information we submitted. But the improvements include reorienting that lot, which eliminates one of the entrances, allows us to better control the flow, and actually pick up some additional parking spaces. In addition to that, the stormwater improvements are really achieved through areas of pervious paving, some additional plantings and greening improvements in that area. And really we're able to pick up more of that water and infiltrate it naturally versus directing it to the existing inlet system, which is there currently. So in order to be able to move forward with this project and receive the funding, we need to approve the grant contract agreement. Again, we are awarded $200,000, and the current cost opinion that HRG has provided has a total project cost of $435,325, which would result in a township match of $235,325. When we had submitted the application for this project, we talked about using the existing line of credit that's out for the fire company project as the matching funds for this project. And the ICDA provided a letter to that effect. Due to the time, the timing with the grant and when we anticipated hearing, we're now in a position where we would need to extend the time within which those funds could be drawn down. So it's something that we're working with Lou on to see if that's possible. If it's not possible, we would look to borrow funds for the match. Lou provided a sample debt service schedule that I included in your packets. We'd be looking at needing to provide about $45,000 in 2017 to move forward with that, and I've been working with Cheryl to get that figure in the draft budget for next year. That $45,000, I should note, there's two additional separate but related projects that we've heard rumblings of before. One involves removing three utility poles that was proposed as part of the fire company project. That has an approximate cost of $138,000 roughly. And the other portion would be acquiring the other half of the parking lot. Right now, the township owns half The other half is owned by the trust, and that would be around 130. So that debt service schedule includes sort of worst case scenario, just so you can see what it would be looking at if you would decide at a future time to move forward with those other one or two options.
Any questions or comments? We obviously heard the presentation this evening with the debt service and capital improvements and things like that. At the risk of playing devil's advocate, what are your thoughts as members of the board as to whether disapproving this would be a penny wise or a pound foolish? Or, I mean, we're obviously going to have to be making some pretty difficult decisions down the road.
I think we're going to need some more analysis of that report before we stop doing things that we've already said.
Yeah, committed to,
I would ask that we take time to really review it. And as we look at the budget for next year and everyone in the administration is putting that together, that we look at that on the list instead of starting to cherry pick things.
Right.
This is the tail end of that, of the redevelopment, if you will, of that southwest corner of Cocoa and Chocolate.
Right.
So this was queued up. It just, thankfully, we got the grant. So thank you, Mark.
Sure. I just wanted to throw that out there, and I'm sure we're all astutely aware of, some budgetary hand-wringing, but I will accept a motion to accept the local stormwater BMP implementation grant in the amount of $200,000 from the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection. So moved to Mr. Foley, seconded by Ms. Court. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion carries unanimously. The final item on the agenda is approval of the fireworks display for the 12th annual New Year's Eve celebration. Mr. Nagley?
I said on, Mr. Chairman, this is the 12th annual celebration of New Year's down square. St. Gallup Corporation came to us as additional insurer.
All right. I have a motion that the Community Celebration Committee be granted permission to stage fireworks display at 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, 2017.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Court, seconded by Mr. Weir. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that motion is granted unanimously. It's cringe, yeah. I'll invite correspondence board committee information moving from my left to the right. Susan?
Nothing this evening, thank you.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, October 5th, Derry Township Municipal Building, we had our eighth stormwater stakeholders meeting to discuss the credit policy and moving forward. That process is moving very well. And last night at the Derry Township Municipal Authority meeting, we discussed options for moving stormwater assets to the Municipal Authority. And there will be another public information meeting on the stormwater process coming up sometime in December.
Thank you, Matt. John, anything?
Excuse me.
Justice? Very well. Chief, anything for us tonight?
The only thing I have is the next board meeting on the 25th. We'll be bringing in some young folks that their names were drawn as a part of our grand prize drawing for the positive ticket program. They'll be coming into the meeting to receive their grand prizes.
Thank you. Fire Department.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The 13th annual soup cook-off was recently held at our station, and it was a huge success. Again, we had an opportunity to show off our station, which we're very proud of. We're in full swing right now with fire prevention. This being Fire Prevention Month, we've probably seen a couple hundred kids already. We have a few more weeks to go. And then we'll also be, once again, participating in the Hershey Halloween Parade.
Thank you. Public Works.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I have to report is the Public Works is now collecting leaves. We'll be doing that into the first week of December. So we would ask all residents to put those leaves out so we can get on the
lawn. Library, Barbara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
and with Barbara's resignation and one other resignation of the library, we have two new employees that are starting this week. Thank you.
Thank you. Terry?
I have nothing this evening. Thank you.
Pat?
Just a quick reminder that the Halloween parade is scheduled for next Wednesday, October 19th at 7 o'clock to begin and end at the Recreation Center.
Thank you. Matt?
Chuck?
I'm going to give you an update quickly on the zoning ordinance that was presented to the Planning Commission on October 4th. There is a lot of discussion of different aspects of the ordinance that's coming onto your agenda for the public hearing October 25th. We will have the minutes from the Planning Commission meeting ready for you. There was a lot of discussion of traffic on Middletown Road in the study that the supervisors had commissioned there. And because of that, mostly, it seemed like, although the Planning Commission felt like the ordinance was about 95% there, they've forwarded it on to the Board of Supervisors for the public hearing, but have asked that it come back to them for further consideration. So we'll see how that plays out at the hearing. I understand that Middletown Road traffic study will probably be, it's about wrapped up and will likely be posted on our website next week.
Questions?
Also,
I have
a couple of topics here.
You go.
As the board recall, as Matt called me out on last meeting, I did not give my property maintenance update as I had been doing. So right now, when we started into the foreclosure registration program, we had 39 foreclosed properties in the township, about. Today we have 32. That's a good thing. But that also means that the revenues from that program, we're totaling about $1,100 right now. But they continue to try and get people registered, and we continue to monitor it. I'd rather have no foreclosed properties, but you understand. The official map was in front of the board here for a public hearing. We're still working on finding a date when everybody, or at least the majority of supervisors, come together. Once that date is found, we'll blast it out, however, in all the means we have, from newsletter and so on. Last month, my department issued 19 building permits, 25 zoning permits, 8 stormwater BMP inspections is what we did. 189 building code inspections and 36 property maintenance inspections. And Mark, I know that next month is going to be a really full agenda, or I'm sorry, next meeting is going to be a really full agenda. You had asked me over the next 4 weeks to take a look at Middletown Road. I have a quick report that I'd like to show this evening, if that's okay, as part of staff comments. Entertainment. So I took a look, and actually Mark, I'm sorry, Matt, Mike and I were out doing stormwater inspections, so we walked a part of this. But just for the sake of looking at this stretch of Middletown Road, as you recall, this is the property of Allegheny Valley School and a little bit of Deer Run. I wanted to take a look at what the distance is between the Turkey Hill convenience store and the Sheets convenience store, now realizing that on the commercial center that's also being built on this property, there's going to be some other facilities. So you can see we have about 2,100 feet between them. Halfway is about the middle, right? But then just for how about that? For the sake of looking at a sidewalk extension, if you'll recall last meeting I talked that this 720 feet has been deferred and that the Board of Supervisors could call that connection. Once we're connected to this point, pedestrians can come through this portion of South Point. Mark had wanted me to take a look at coming out Colonial Way. It may gain a few more residents to come along Middletown Road, but as the board may recall, there is a stretch there where it's a narrow road, the fence is up against. I'm not sure that we're losing much by not putting that in now and leaving that be part of a future project for sidewalks, if indeed we're just trying to get connectivity from the lion's share of the residents to this center.
Is there anything to call along that stretch along Middletown Road?
The call ends here.
Yeah.
East. There's all of this, all of these development, all of these phases of the development were done prior to us
substituting that policy.
All right. So how would we accomplish that if we were to do it?
It would be part of, I think, a more comprehensive street program, kind of like we're doing with streetscapes.
Okay.
So then just looking, this is at the South Point Commons drive. So this would be up by the sheets. You can see there is already a ramp there and an easy sidewalk connection. As we move through there, this is looking back at this is looking back at the Deer Run Drive, and the grades are pretty decent.
If you can go back to that.
Sure.
To, from the vantage point, if you look to the left, that's a pretty good drop off there, isn't it?
It is, but there seems to be enough flat area up on top to still maintain a tree, yard like we do, and keep the sidewalk up on top.
Or are you going to need a fence?
No, it's not. It's a 3-to-1 slope in that area. Right in this area, and you kind of lose it in the trees, there is a steep area where the sidewalk may meander closer to the curb, but we didn't think that it would have to come flat up against the curb.
You'd be much closer right there.
But it would be closer to the curb. This area does lead down to more of a drainage way. It is a steeper area. But I think we'll be okay without railings. You know, this is by no means a final design. I just wanted to show the board what we're looking at through here. As we come up to this property, which is owned by the Allegheny Valley School, they do have a driveway cut on Middletown Road, so we would need to cross that. That's just looking back at it. Again, not insurmountable. It's good that I caught some people up on top of the hill here. In this case, I think we would look at moving away from Middletown Road even further and staying on top of the hill. That would take a pedestrian easement from the owners. And of course, the option is that they do a lot of excavation. I think they'd be willing to do the pedestrian easement.
Chuck, can you go back to that picture?
I sure can.
That's the bank that we talked about, that whether there's an opportunity to increase the site pitch.
So Steve Ramos was out with us when we were doing this as well. We were originally out looking at stormwater systems. I believe that Steve is going to probably take on as a project lowering that bank for site distance coming out of there.
That will drastically improve that.
We did discuss that with him. I wish.
Pulling it out there.
Yeah, I don't have a great picture of that, but they have their sign there and it's pretty much flowers on the other side. I think these would be two independent projects, though. I think we'd keep the sidewalk on the highland here, because it's probably, this is probably 4 or 5, maybe even 6 feet above the road surface. And then coming, this would be the connection back into the sidewalk that already exists coming out of South Point Drive. And then that's just a shot looking up. We have the fence, we have narrow
space.
That's
the tough part there. Right?
That is tough, and I would suggest that we leave that for a more comprehensive project. So that's at least what we found. I guess it'll be up to the Board of Supervisors to make the call. Mr. Yost, have you been involved in those before? I think we've done 2 or 3 of them. Should I work with John to work this forward, or what's the?
I think it makes sense, right?
What the board like to do?
Given the sheets and the John's
I mean, from a design or just a,
Go ahead and
reach out. Reach out.
Yeah, okay. And order and start those discussions.
And that's all I have this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Chuck. Lauren.
Chucktoberfest this weekend. Come 12-6 Chucktown Square. Thanks to those of you who have signed up to volunteer.
Already have.
I know, thank you.
So, anything, Joe?
You and I had briefly discussed last week the possibility of sending out reminders through e-news when there are special meetings scheduled. I didn't know if you wanted to discuss that tonight.
Yeah. Let's table that discussion.
What's the question?
Well, the question is we need to brainstorm ways of possibly communicating to the general public a little bit better than what we have. And I think you and I had spoken about
that individual email blast that you sent out for the rescheduling of the meeting, you know, and if we could do it for one meeting, I was thinking we ought to have a standard, it ought to be standardized to do that for all public meetings.
Well, I think that is a larger discussion because I am glad that Jill and I spoke about sending out notices when that meeting was canceled, but as a regular diet of sending one out every week to say there's something coming tomorrow, we do a weekly email blast. So I would hate to inundate people with information that they're already getting, but I do see it as a great vehicle in addition to all the social media that we've been doing, and of course reaching out to the newspaper to let them know when something's been canceled.
I was thinking perhaps public hearings. You know, we've implemented public hearings through that system. Well, we can talk about it.
They're notified of those. Jill, you always put those in the weekly emails anyway. So I would say if it's something that we have to communicate a change, then that would warrant doing something on a Tuesday.
I'd be getting negative feedback to the contrary. So that's something we need to talk about.
Okay. It's already out there once a week, though. So.
I know.
I don't want to change our entire way we're doing it because we're getting somebody upset that they didn't do something.
I totally understand, which is why I think we want to talk about it. But we also want to talk about something as old school, perhaps, as a sign out front on Cocoa Avenue with information. I'm just throwing ideas out there. You know, just ideas. If you guys, or the board here, can continue to think of ways that we can push information out to improve our communication.
Yeah, I think we're always trying to do that. So I think we can continue to think that. But the onus is also on the public to seek it out.
I agree. I mean, so, okay. We'll table that for tonight. All right. Anything else for consideration? Jim?
No.
All right. Very well. I'll entertain a motion to approve accounts payable in the amount of $1,688,648.47 and payroll in the amount of $313,131.01.
So moved.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And that approval is rendered unanimously. Now is the time for the second visitor public comments. Anybody wishes to approach this podium, please identify your name and address, and if you'd be so kind as to limit your remarks to 3 minutes or less, I'd appreciate it. Seeing nobody availing themselves of that, I will move for adjournment.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Foley.
Aye.
Seconded by Mr. Engel. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? And this meeting is adjourned.